Hey, it's Drex from This Week Health Cyber and Risk Community, and I want to invite you to our next webinar. It's going to focus on what else? Defending health data. I'll be chatting with experts from Rubrik and Microsoft. Register right now at thisweekhealth.com/rubrikwebinar. That's all one string, R-U-B-R-I-K webinar, thisweekhealth.com/rubrikwebinar. See you online soon.
Today in Health IT, we're going to talk about OpenAI, their Sora text-to-video project a little bit. What does this have to do with healthcare? Not really sure, to be honest with you. This is at the intersection of technology and healthcare, the podcast. But I just wanted to talk about it a little bit, and maybe my thoughts will, I don't know, spark some things in you as we start to think about how this is going to impact healthcare. My name is Bill Russell. I'm a former CIO for a 16-hospital system and creator of This Week Health, a set of channels and events dedicated to transform healthcare one connection at a time. We want to thank our show sponsors who are investing in developing the next generation of health leaders, notable ServiceNow, Enterprise Health, Parlance, Certify Health, and Panda Health. Great companies. Check them out at thisweekhealth.com/today. One last thing, share this podcast with a friend or colleague. Use it as a foundation for daily or weekly discussions on the topics that are relevant to you in the industry. You can do that. It's called mentoring. They can subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. All right, one last thing. No show tomorrow. Tomorrow is Friday. It's a day off for This Week Health, so I'm not going to produce a show. I'll be back on Monday to catch up with you. It'll be a Newsday show. All right, let's talk about this. OpenAI Sora is really, it's just like everything else with generative AI. The first time you see it, you just sort of go, wow, what just happened here? Are we going to democratize the making of videos, all sorts of videos? Are we going to start seeing videos? You know how every image that ChatGPT creates, you can see the style, you just say, that's AI generated. And it has a graffiti-ish feel. I'm sure somebody who's artistic is rolling over right now. Just can't believe I'm just saying this, but it has a look. And you just look at it and say, that's AI generated. The videos probably will have that same kind of feel to it for just for a while. And OpenAI is releasing this really slowly. And I think that's due to the backlash we've seen with Google's video creator and some other things that haven't gone that well, to be honest with you. But anyway, OpenAI Sora released a bunch of new videos, and they're all generated text to video. That's how it's done. It's the same way you put a prompt in there and then you'll see a video. The one I'm looking at, it's a short film called Airhead by Shy Kids. And it's interesting. I just watched the whole thing in its entirety. And it's a person living their life as an airhead, which essentially is a balloon for a head. And they talk about the challenges of going through life that way and the benefits of going through life that way. But the imagery in it is really cool and interesting. I'm sure if I saw a bunch more of these videos, I'd say, oh, it has a certain style. It's all in slow motion, or it all has a different feel to it. There's certain things that you can see the video struggling with at this point, but it's really impressive. All right, so they're releasing this really slow. They've grabbed a select group of people, creatives, that they're giving this to, artists, filmmakers, etc. And they are allowing them to play with it and see what they can create. And so we're seeing some of that stuff come out at this point. As I'm looking at this, it's the thing that's most fascinating to me is the democratization of creating these movies. So you can imagine this really changing, not Hollywood just yet, but you could see it changing maybe training videos. And we do a lot of videos and a lot of education of patients around disease states and those kind of things. You could see it generating some of those kinds of things. You could see it sneaking its way into maybe social media posts that are more commercial advertising kind of things, but video, created video instead of the images that are created today. But eventually you could see full-blown commercials. You could see Hollywood films and whatnot. I'm sure people will experiment and create based on that. Now, with that being said, as we know with prompts and prompt engineering today, it's challenging. It's difficult to get what you expect or what you want out of the tool. It's getting better and it's getting easier to get exactly what you want out of the tool. but they will flat out tell you when you sign up for certain things, it'll say, hey, this thing has a tendency to hallucinate. Don't rely on its information. Literally, I was signing up for something the other day, and that was one of the check boxes that it had there. And so you always have to keep that in the back of your mind. I'm sure that box is just there for liability. It's essentially a lawyer said, make sure this box is there so people know what they're getting when they sign up. Because we all know that the output of some of these things at this point is really impressive. So I could see that happening, but it will take some time. They're releasing it slow for a reason. There's been a lot of mishaps with this. It could be used, again, we have to think of in the wrong hands. How could it be used in the hands of non-professionals? And so I've worked with enough creatives to know I don't understand color the way they understand color. I understand colors like the colors in a crayon box. They understand colors and color theory and bringing things together in a way that I don't. And so you could see this getting into the hands of, again, this is how democratization works, getting in the hands of the layman. They start creating videos, and it is an ugly world that we've created. It can get in the hands of people in an election year, and they can create videos of, it's not really deepfakes yet, so I think we're not going to see that. I think that's easy to get in front of. But you can see a lot of misinformation and those kinds of things generated. Think news scenes that aren't real of people interviewing other people, not celebrities that you know, but just people having an experience and that kind of stuff. So it can be used to, it can be used to generate a lot of content. All right, so we come back to healthcare. And why do I talk about these things? On Friday, I usually just riff on topics I'm thinking about. And if I were sitting in the AI, CIO chair right now, clearly I wouldn't be focused on video. I'd be focused on the adoption of AI tools to improve the efficiency and the experience of our clinicians, probably first and foremost. Secondly, I'd be thinking about it with regard to patients. I know some people will be offended at the order of that, but in reality, I work for the health system and I have to take care of the people who are inside the building. And so that probably would be my primary focus. And I think there's an awful lot of ways that generative AI and other AI tools are being used to really streamline the processes that we have in healthcare. Broken processes for sure, cumbersome processes for sure, but that is what AI is really good at. It's helping with the steps of the cumbersome process to really alleviate the cognitive load and alleviate the stress that's created from these things. That's where I'd be focused. And administrative side first, clinical side second. Clinical, I'd be looking at already established AI tools more than the generative side. I'd be playing with the generative side, especially with regard to inbox, responding to notes and that kind of stuff. That's how I'd be thinking about it. Why would I be thinking about this? Because my job as a CIO is to have one foot firmly planted today in the here and now, and one foot firmly planted 3 years from now. What's the world going to look like 3 years from now? And this is the kind of article that gets me thinking about what the world's going to look like 3 years from now. What is the generative AI model going to look like? It's moving at a breakneck pace. We're already talking about ChatGPT-5. And from 3.5 to 4 was unbelievable, the leap that they took. If they take a similar leap in from 4 to 5, I can only imagine what we're going to be looking at. We're going to be looking at later this year. I can only imagine what we're going to be looking at 3 years from now, and the models and what we're going to be able to do. And so I'd want my team, I'd want myself to get as much experience with it as possible. I would play around with it with anywhere you can get access to it. I'd be playing around with it. Anybody I could get in front of that is going to give me more information, deeper information on this topic, I would get in front of. I remember when I was really trying to delve into cybersecurity, I reached out to Deloitte, I reached out to our security providers, I reached out to Cisco and others, and I'm like, I want to talk to your best cybersecurity person. Fly me in here, get them in front of me and some of my team members, and here's the list of questions I want to talk to them about and whatnot. And we learned a ton. I'd be doing the same thing around AI right now. With regard to 3 years from now, I would open up my reading to be broader and to be looking at other places where this is going to be used. And to be honest with you, if it's being used in Hollywood, if it's being used to build commercials where AI is being used in those areas, it will be used in healthcare. So we do generate a lot of content to educate people, to bring them along, to educate clinicians, to keep them certified, keep them up to date on things. We could up our game in IT in terms of the call center and utilizing video and even deep fake agents. We're seeing this in video games all over the place. There's no reason why your agent has to be a human being once we get to a point where AI is much more reliable than the people you've hired. With that being said, I understand that there's ramifications to that statement, and that the value of people is still there, and we have to move at this slowly. But at the other end of the scheme, my job as a CIO is to look at the potential of technology, to look at the threat of technology, to look at the risks associated with that, and to be the person who brings those conversations into the health system. And so this is one of those things, I don't know, it's way out there, but we're already seeing it being used. So I don't know how way out there it is, but 3 years from now, I could see the average person sitting down or college students sitting down with a great idea and generating a, I don't know, 30-minute short or even a series, a streaming series. I could see them generating a movie at some point without ever hiring an actor. Just pretty amazing when you think about it. Anyway, that's our short jaunt into the future. That's all for today, though. Don't forget, share this podcast with a friend or colleague. Mentor someone. We want to thank our channel sponsors who are investing in our mission to develop the next generation of health leaders. Notable, ServiceNow, Enterprise Health, Parlance, Certify Health, and Panda Health. Check them out at thisweekhealth.com/today. Thanks for listening. That's all for now.